In the early days of the movies, Germany was established as a filmmaking giant thanks to directors like Paul Lenny, Fritz Lang, Ernst Lubitsch, and Billy Wilder. Each of these men would later immigrate to Hollywood to escape the turmoil of World War II, and there each would find his own kind of success. Billy Wilder's name became synonymous with big box office returns, but Next film writer Krista Scheel tells us about one Wilder film that failed to gain acceptance when it was released. Today, Ace in the Hole stands out as a rare early example of a movie that reflected upon the state of the mass media and the slippery slope into sensationalism that had already begun over 62 years ago.
The idea of the media circus is familiar to most of us, I think, with supposedly reputable news organizations now offering wall-to-wall coverage of murder trials, missing persons, celebrity deaths, and scandals. It often seems like the news is more circus than substance. But there was a time when sensationalism was considered out of the ordinary, and one famous filmmaker found out that satirizing it could rub an audience the wrong way. The film was called Ace in the Hole, and the director was Billy Wilder. After the completion of his masterpiece Sunset Boulevard in 1950, Billy Wilder parted ways with his longtime co-screenwriter Charles Brackett. It was time for a fresh start. He teamed up with the writers Lester Samuels and Walter Newman to make a film which was inspired by the true story of a man trapped in a cave in Kentucky. They were also influenced by a more recent incident in 1949 when a little girl fell down a well in California, and the nation anxiously followed the attempts to rescue her.
Beneath this sinister mountain, a man is buried alive, trapped by a cave-in. And from every part of a shocked and anxious nation, the crowds stream to watch the desperate rescue crews fighting against time.
The movie they wrote would be shot on location near Gallup, New Mexico, and it was to be Wilder's darkest satire ever. A replica cliff dwelling was built for the film. The trapped man in the story was supposedly looking for Indian relics, which incidentally later became a small tourist attraction for the trading post on Route 66. The picture, in fact, offers something of a glimpse into how the Southwest was viewed as a primitive backwater at the time by the big city folks on the coasts. The main character, a reporter, compares New Mexico very unfavorably to the excitement and luxury of New York City. Kirk Douglas plays the reporter, a cocky, ruthless opportunist named Chuck Tatum, who ends up working for an Albuquerque newspaper after being fired from a major New York daily. "I can handle big news and little news," he says, "and if there's no news, I'll go out and bite a dog." Looking to get back up the ladder with a big story, he happens upon a situation in a nearby town where a man is trapped in an Indian cave dwelling, and he milks the emergency for all it's worth.
"Now here's the deal. The way things look, there's going to be other newspaper men trying to horn in on this story. A lot of them. Maybe all the way from New York. This is my story. I want to keep it mine."
"Phony, below the belt journalism, that's what it is."
"Not below the belt, right in the gut, Mr. Boot. Human interest."
Soon the whole country is in a frenzy over the trapped man, while Tatum manipulates the situation to his advantage. He manages to delay the rescue by persuading the engineer responsible for the operation into using an unnecessarily complex drilling strategy that drags things out for days on end, while he gets exclusive access to the victim.
"You'll be out of here by tomorrow morning."
"No, I won't. He'll never reach me by tomorrow morning."
"You'll be out of here in 12 hours.
He brings the corrupt local sheriff in on the scheme, as well as the victim's wisecracking, amoral wife, played in unforgettable style by Jan Sterling.
"Would it be too much trouble to put me up for the night?"
"60 beautiful rooms, the Escudero Ritz. What'll it be, ocean view or mountain view?"
People start pouring in from all over. Tourists visiting out of curiosity, souvenir hunters and other con men of all kinds looking to cash in, publicity hounds and other people who just want to be near something famous. An actual carnival springs up next to the site where the man is trapped, created by the Great S&M Amusement Corporation. That one somehow got by the censors. Wilder expertly depicts the crazy mob mentality as it escalates out of control, until even the reporter who got it all going starts to have misgivings. This is one of the few Wilder films, perhaps the only one, with the gritty look of a non-studio shoot. The production values are nonetheless first rate. Wilder is especially adept at showing his crowds. An overhead shot of a train arriving and unloading a huge batch of tourists with a country song on the soundtrack is a real beauty. However, even to an audience accustomed to Wilder's acerbic wit, Ace in the Hole was too much. It flopped at the box office, his first commercial failure. Part of the reason might have been that the main character, Tatum, is really just an awful guy. Kirk Douglas was never afraid to play a heel when he was called upon to do so, and he plays it to the hilt here.
This is better. Here we've got an ace in the hole. By tomorrow I'll have your name all over the paper. The man who rushed here at the first cry for help to direct the rescue operation. By Tuesday, everyone in the state will know you. Gus Kretzer, the tireless public servant who never spares himself. I'll pile it on every day. 6 days of this, and I'll make you a hero. The election's in the bag. In the bag, the guys running against you will vote for you.
Overall, the vision of humanity presented by Wilder is so dark and uncompromising that audiences in 1951 recoiled. The studio tried to salvage the situation by releasing the film again with the title The Big Carnival, but it made no difference. It is astounding and somewhat discouraging to see how prescient Wilder was about mass culture. We see now, and take for granted, the media's generation of a circus-like atmosphere around events that have been largely invented by the very same media. Even more penetrating was Wilder's depiction of a public hungry for vicarious identification and excitement, all too willing to buy into the latest manufactured spectacle.
In the meantime, I'm sure you'll want to hear from some of the folks who have gathered here to hope and pray for Leo's rescue. This gentleman right here, what is your name, sir?
Fiderber, Al Fiderber.
What business are you in, Mr. Fiderber?
In the insurance game in Gallup.
Feel right at home, Mr. Fiderber. Speak right into the microphone.
And the dressing up of this idle gullibility with phony Americanism and pseudo-religious values strikes a vulnerable spot even today. In 1951, it must have seemed like a deliberate insult. I'm sure it was no satisfaction for Wilder to know eventually that he was way ahead of his time, but so he was. To watch Ace in the Hole, which you should do at least once, is to be made uncomfortable. And that's exactly what was intended. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Chris DeShiel.
Director Billy Wilder also had a lot to say about post-war Hollywood, including this gem of a quote. An audience is never wrong. An individual member of it may be an imbecile, but 1,000 imbeciles together in the dark, that is critical genius.